WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, WYXR.org on the web. This is Song on the Radio. I'm Robbie.
I'm Winston.
Let's see. We heard, started that set, sending one out to Rachel. That was her choice today. Fleetwood Mac, The Ledge off of Tusk. It's Dr. Hughes approved there in the corner. And then we played something else. But we've been talking, so I can't remember. It was new. Yes. New Edith Frost. That was Hold On. And now's a good time to introduce guest. Ann Powers on mic 3. Hey, Ann.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here in this gorgeous space you have. It's incredible. I've never been in this building before.
Oh, well, it's about 6-7 years old. Well, no, it's longer than that. 7-8 years old.
I got to shout out Matt Rossbang. He's in here somewhere in his studio.
Yeah.
Hi, Matt. I'm just downstairs.
Yeah. Maybe we can swing by after or give him a ring. Of course, Ann Powers in town to speak tonight on a panel with Dr. Charles Hughes at Rhodes. Conversation. I mean, it's a conversation. Really.
Yes, we are going to.
Yeah, it's
anytime I get to talk to Charles Hughes is a special moment in my life.
Oh, I know.
Such a brilliant person.
Great friend of the station and really, really awesome dude. This has been a really incredible series that you've been doing. Charles have got had Sheila E. a couple weeks ago. Had Jason Isbell and other folks. This is free. It's free tonight at Southwestern Hall at Rhodes. There's going to be a reception beginning at 5:30, followed by it's a lecture.
Well, no, it's a conversation.
Okay, good.
I could spontaneously lecture.
Yes.
I could lecture you the way I lecture my dog when she does bad things. That's the only kind of lecture I'm doing these days. Get away from that, Frankie.
You're a music critic, writer with NPR, Los Angeles Times, many others. I last saw you in this Dori Previn documentary that we've been talking a lot about.
Yes.
We just played a Dori Previn song. What an incredible... I knew nothing
amazing
about her.
Story, right?
Tell me why I didn't know anything about her.
Well, it's a great question. And I mean, I think the documentary gets at that a bit. But I mean, really, she was so ahead of her time and maybe just above... any moment, really. I think that combo of what Dori did, the combo of sort of highly literate, almost like musical theater-ish lyrics and melodies, but with that singer-songwriter sensibility was very unusual and a little hard for some people to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was one reason why she didn't gain the fame she should have during her years of making those great records she made. Also, she was older when she started that.
Yeah.
I mean, she had this earlier life working with her once husband, Andre Previn, and doing things like writing the theme song for The Valley of the Dolls, which is a song we all love.
Yeah.
And so when she hits kind of that moment of making these great albums, she's in her 40s. And I mean, that was a time when it was really hard for women in their 40s. Unless you were Barbra Streisand or something. I don't know. She was not that old at that time. But it was just hard. I mean, Joni herself struggled with that. She wrote some great songs about that, about what happens for women in the pop world when they age.
Yeah.
It's not always pretty.
She was ahead of her time. I mean, now it's so relevant and feels like of today. So
absolutely.
She was ahead of her time. Anyway, had a great conversation with Julia Greenberg, the director, and it was great to see you in there. Because I also saw you. You moderated a Mellotron panel that we did
in
2019 with me and Pat. Yeah. So we've met before. So that was
amazing.
That was cool.
Night.
Yes.
Amazing. And thank you to Winston for your contributions to history.
Yeah.
It's like as Larry Klein, the longtime, well, the husband and longtime producer of Joni said, when they accepted their Grammy after having made a record, Turbulent Indigo, while they were divorcing. They won the best folk album, best pop album, I think, was it that year at the Grammys. And he said to her, and I thank you for giving me an education in the arts.
Nice. Nice. Very nice.
I try to say that as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, we keep alluding to it, but haven't really said it. Ann Powers has authored a new book called Traveling on the Path of Joni Mitchell, which I'm looking at a beautiful copy of it here. Thank you. So you've been on a book tour for this. Like, how long you been on the road?
Well, the book came out in June, and so I did some events in Nashville and D.C. and my mic went out. Does that matter? I can't hear you.
Oh, it might be the headphones.
I think okay,
the headphones
I'm not going
you're
to
You're on. I can hear you. I can hear you. I can
live
hear you.
Radio.
Sorry.
Live radio.
Yeah.
See, at NPR, we'd be like, okay, stop the tape. Let's recut
this
it.
This is live. Keep going.
So, yeah, I was traveling all around. And then I also, a project that I co-founded at NPR called Turning the Tables, we put out a book in October called How Women Made Music, A Revolutionary History. And so I did some traveling for that as well. So wow. I've been all around. And that was really fun because we had these events with lots of the writers. There's like over 100 women writers and illustrators wow. in that book. And also, just to do a little shilling, the audiobook for that, for How Women Made Music, I think people will really love because Allison Fensterstock, the editor, went into the NPR archives and got audio from the original artists wow. who are featured in the book. So like everyone from Nina Simone to Bonnie Raitt to, wow. you know, Madonna, they're all in the audiobook.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's, well,
it's been
cool.
a busy year for you.
It has been a busy year, but yeah. I enjoy it.
Did you get to spend a lot of time with Joni Mitchell? Right?
No, Joni
Zero
Mitchell.
Zero time.
Yeah, no, I chose, as you will read about when you read the book,
yes.
to kind of leave her, like, I built this whole story and I wanted this book to have her, I mean, have her be, as I say, in the book. She is like right ahead of me on the trail, and I'm always looking toward her, but I am always trying to see her without her directly looking back at me.
Oh, cool.
Because the reason I made that decision is because, you know, I've been a music journalist for 100,000 years, and in those years I've learned something, which is that, especially with very famous people, once you have connected with them on a project, it's really not your project anymore. It's theirs. And what I call the vortex of her charisma would have been too strong. And I think I wouldn't have been able to say some of the things I say in this book. I raised some challenges to the legend of Joni Mitchell,
right,
as
right.
well as deep love and appreciation.
Yeah, that's amazing. And she did spend a very little time in Memphis. Well, we'll talk about it a little bit. I mean, she Furry Sings the Blues,
yeah.
and that was where we were trying to like backtrack and figure out when that was. Like, she did a road trip on her own.
No, I think it was before that, though.
Okay.
I think with Furry, and I can't remember why she was in town. I'm yeah. sorry, I don't have my yeah, Google in front of me.
No.
But the important thing about that story is she did want to meet Furry Lewis, and you know who it was who took her. Who was it?
It was probably Sid Selvidge.
Yeah. And so he took her to meet Furry, and notoriously, Furry was not interested in meeting her,
right.
Expressed some strong suspicions of this beautiful white blonde woman in his space, like trying to, you know, whatever, capture his magic and soul. And I think, as she said, you know, all he wanted from me was a bottle of whiskey, which I don't know. I mean, that also fulfills some stereotypes I feel suspicious about. But she did write this great song about the experience Furry Sings the Blues, which is, for Joni Mitchell, a rare time in which she confronts her own white privilege and entitlement and, you know, basically says, why am I here? Like, uh-huh. I have nothing to give this person. I have only to take from this person, and that is not the right thing. So it's a great moment of self-confrontation, which is one of the qualities of Joni's music. She's always confronting herself, although not so much about race, usually more about like her status as a woman or an artist or these other things.
Yeah, that's super. That's interesting and Memphis related. I love it. Mm-hmm. So Ann Powers on the mic right now. She's going to be speaking with Dr. Charles Hughes, co-sponsored by the Mike Curb Institute, tonight at the Southwestern Hall Hardy Auditorium at Rhodes. Reception at 5:30, and it'll start around 6:00. And I can't wait to dive into this book. Traveling, Ann Powers, Traveling on the Path of Joni Mitchell. And then remind the folks the other book.
It's called How Women Made Music, A Revolutionary History. And that book is on Harper One. The Traveling is on Day Street Books. But cool. Please support your independent bookstore,
yes.
your local independent. Tell me where to go. Where am I going to
Burks,
buy?
Burks.
All
yes.
right.
Yeah,
I'll be going to buy a book there.
Yeah, there you go.
It's been really fun going around the country and going to all the different wonderful bookstores. I was in New York, and I got to do an event at the Strand for the first time, which is one of the legendary bookstores. Yeah. So, I always love dealing with book soup in D.C. There's so many great, and of course, our own Parnassus. Maybe Memphians know Ann Patchett's store in Nashville, which is such a haven for all of us.
Well, that's incredible. And next time you're through town, we'll do you and Charles. We'll give you an hour, and I'll come on and chit chat and play some music.
You
or
got
2 hours
you
or whatever.
You got a date.
All right,
let's be doing it.
Let's play. Well, Ann, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks
it's great
for having
to see
me.
You again.
Enjoy the book.
Yeah, we're gonna play the song that calls out the title of your book, Traveling.
All right.
This is
All I Want.
All I Want by Joni Mitchell.
So good.